mojobreak.com.
Pack rippers and sports nuts, welcome to the mojobreak.com sports card show podcast. I'm Doug Fresh.
Dan Rage.
This is episode 10, like Deshaun Jackson, scoring touchdown. That's what we do here at Mojo Break. Did you watch that epic World Series game last night?
Hell yeah.
Man, David Freese, man. Hometown hero.
David Freese. Triple home run.
Did you see the value? Like, I just had to take a look on eBay. His cards jumped, like, double.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, when was he a rookie?
You know, I think it was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I should have probably done a little bit of research on that, but it's funny that how the card industry, you got to be right moment, right time, get guys up there like
dude,
that.
Dude, how about Lance Berkman revitalizing his career?
The Puma, dude, with the gray, you see his gray beard, man? Yeah, he's rocking it, man. He's showing the age.
He's getting up there, but that was a hell of an at-bat for that base hit that he hit last night.
Got two backs against the wall, two outs, two strikes on both the Freese at-bat and the Berkman at-bat. And then Freese comes up and what, was that the 11th and hits that home run?
Yeah, it was the 11th.
Dead center, too. It was just like...
Well, it was a no-doubter, too.
What about, we were just talking about it off-air. What do you think about Nelson Cruz? You think, like, who do you think most people would have had that? I mean, what's the chance? It looks like he stopped and misjudged the ball a little bit on that third out when David Freese got that triple.
I think any good outfielder, I'm not saying every outfielder. You were saying that Beltran may have had it. I don't think so. Plus, if it was in San Francisco, that would have hit off the wall anyway.
Right.
Been way off the wall, so it would have been practically uncatchable. But I think a good right fielder would have had that.
Well, you know, and it looks like, and I play softball, and I've had balls go up against the wall, and I know how it is. You don't exactly know where the wall is, and it does take a good skill to. And he's not in his own ballpark either, so it does take a skill to know exactly when the wall's coming up. And I think that's partly in his mind. Like,
if I played baseball for a living, it was my career, I think I'd be able to handle that.
Well, that's a good point.
You got to think about it. He's been playing baseball for, what is he, like late 20s, early 30s? He's been playing baseball for most of his career.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he misjudged it. You obviously seen the little stutter step, and I haven't listened to people are obviously probably talking about it on ESPN right now and stuff like that.
I mean, it was a hard play, and I say probably half of the starting outfielders in the league, right fielders, get that ball, and the other half don't. So, yeah. I mean, it's if he would have made it, it would have been a ridiculous play.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes, I don't believe in this, godness and stuff that people talk about, that like what Josh Hamilton's saying, but you know, I do believe the momentum was just on the card side that night. I mean, it was just, like the Giants, last year. I mean, everything just happened at the right time.
Well, you got to give Cruz a little bit of credit. I mean, he's
one of the reasons why they're there.
Well, he's not out there for his glove.
No, I mean, the guy's a man beast with the bat, too.
Yeah, they're not, like, throwing him out there and going, well, you're gonna win games out there with your glove. He's mediocre at best. He's kind of a big dude.
Yeah. But I think he's, how many home runs has he hit in the playoffs? I think it's like, it's like a record or something like that. So, I mean, him and Napoli are probably the huge reasons of why Texas is where they are in the playoffs this year.
Well, Napoli, if Texas does win, Napoli will get MVP.
That's going to be hard to not throw Cruz in there, though. I mean, I know they're not going to look at the other series.
He's hitting over 400.
Yeah, in the World Series. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting game tonight, and get your popcorn ready, like T.O. says.
Looks like Carpenter's going for the Cardinals, and Texas pitched so many guys last night. I saw C.J. Wilson getting ready in the bullpen.
Who's Lowe? Is that guy related to Derek Lowe?
No, but looks like he probably won't be coming out there anymore.
He looks like he might be in the gene pool there.
He served it up.
Was he the last pitcher to start on the roster?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he threw three balls, and then he had to throw a strike, right? So...
Yeah, they threw everybody out there last night. I mean, Feldman pitched, Neftali Feliz, he pitched.
Did they throw any starters? Well, Feldman's a starter.
A starter.
Yeah. They obviously didn't want to get whoever's going tonight.
But they had Wilson up in the bullpen.
Wow.
So, I mean, I don't know who they're starting tonight.
Obviously, your back's against the wall. You need to win a game. It's the last game of the season. You need to do whatever it takes.
Well, I mean, everything everything goes, right? I mean, I like the idea that I mean, Carpenter, I mean, that's kind of the no-brainer. You gotta throw Carpenter out there for the,
yeah,
for the Cardinals.
Exactly. It's their ace. It's the guy that's got him there. It's the guy that's kind of pitched some great games in the playoffs. So
Matt Holliday not playing tonight.
Really? Was he hurt or?
Yeah, he hurt himself diving back into third base with the play that he got. They picked him off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It looks like Cruz is limping too. So exciting stuff, man. I mean, I haven't had a whole lot of time to watch every single World Series game, but it's been one for the ages. I mean, probably one of the best Game 6 I've ever witnessed. I was too young for a lot of the great games they showed last night as being best Game 6s. I remember the Kirby Puckett catch against the wall, and then he hits the home run. I remember that one. Remember the Joe Carter. That was pretty epic.
Yeah.
You know, home run to win that game.
Matt Harrison's pitching for the Rangers.
Really? Matt Harrison. Throwing it on him, huh?
Yeah, but CJ Wilson will definitely be available.
Yeah, I mean, they might even do like a three-inning thing. I mean, they're going to give a short leash to Matt Harrison, I'm sure. Getting right into the news. This podcast, we got news to talk about, reviews. We're going to bring douchebag segment back. We got our douchebags. We're going to talk about douches.
Wow.
And we both douches. It's a very popular topic these days. And me and Dan took the Wonderlic. So we're going to give you our scores. And we're also going to talk about guys that didn't do too well on the Wonderlic. Vince Young's been in the news. This is what's kind of spurred the conversation about the Wonderlic. Cards we're going to review, we're going to do Crown Royal. We just busted a 12-box case of Crown Royal.
Yep.
And Bowman Chrome. We're going to get right into the news. Topps is, you know, the diamond giveaway. You get those cards in packs, right?
Absolutely.
They did something really cool. Really, so it makes me want to go buy some. They threw the 101 diamonds, you know, the one that has a little diamond piece in there. They put in Eric Hosmer, Mike Trout, Michael Pineda, and Dustin Ackley. They added it to the redemption site. So those are 101. Yeah, that's some sought after. I mean, those are $1,000 cards there easily.
Wow.
Hosmer alone probably would fetch you $2,000-$3,000, being that it's a rookie card, 101 diamond in there.
Wow.
So, you know, in an effort to obviously sell some more packs, and they've probably got a lot of codes out there. So that, you know, you can pick up a code on eBay for like $3. You know, if you want to buy them in bulk, you can get an even better deal. So it's definitely worth giving a shot to. I mean,
and you get one per jumbo pack.
You get one per jumbo.
Is it like one every four hobby packs?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, I think you get on average 5 to 6 per hobby box, you know. So, you know, you go to Target, some of them promise, you know, those blaster boxes, you get one or two in. So, you know, I think the best deal if you're just looking for that is going on eBay and just picking them up in bulk. And some even sellers will email you the code, so it's kind of instant gratification on that. But and if you don't get one of those cards, you get a chance at an old card. They got the diamond cut, you know, die cut variations that sell well on eBay. They got sick number to 60 variations of those. So, yeah, I think Topps has a winner. What they did is they took last year's Through Your Mom's cards out and they kind of revamped it. And I'm sure everybody knows about it and I'm not speaking anything new, but I think it's a winner. We never really reviewed the Diamond Code giveaways, but I think that they did a good job this year.
Absolutely. It's definitely good extra value. I mean, everybody is searching for the hits. And, you know, it gives you a little bit more incentive.
Definitely.
I mean, it's a chance. I mean, and you're probably not going to get anything great, but there's also, I mean, there's a chance you can get something killer like that Hosmer 101.
Yeah, you get Mike Trout 101. There's also diamond, I think there's diamond cards with the 101 diamonds for every card they made in that set. So there's, you know, 600-700 101 cards that you can get from that. So, and then you can get, I think they had the 52 mantle in there. I don't know if that's been pulled. You can also get collect rings and stuff. So it's a really cool way to get people onto the internet, onto Topps' site. So
I think Topps did a really good job with the baseball. The football.
Yeah.
There's
a lot
left to be desired when it came to that. Like there was the rings that you would get. And I think the best thing you can get is like a name at the auto. I think they had like 100 name at the autos that they were giving away.
Yeah, you weren't really getting cards. Like you would get cards, but it'd be a little harder. At least with Topps, you're getting a card every.
You're getting a card
time.
Every time, yeah.
Yeah, so at least you get something tangible to take away. But I think the football portion, they're giving away tickets and stuff like that. So they're giving away more event based stuff. But I like actually getting tangible items. I think I got like 40 or 50 cards on mine. I mean, nothing worth any value. I got some old cards, but they're not worth anything either. But it's pretty cool, you know. I guess can't get enough of Bryce Harper. They're throwing a 2011 value box, Topps is, just in time for Christmas. basically what it is it's a they're putting a Bryce Harper variation refractor, and I think it's a 1 in 3 chance. There's only 3 different refractors they have in there, so pretty good chance of getting a Bryce Harper. I don't know what they sell for, but what it is it's a mega box, and if it's the same price as they did last year, it's $14.99, I believe. And you get 5 packs of 2011 Topps Update, 1 pack of Bowman Chrome, 1 code guaranteed, so they're, you know, what we were just talking about. And, yeah, 1 in 3 chance of a Harper refractor that is exclusive to these boxes only. The Harper cards will be found in red, silver, and gold, and some cards tougher to find than others. So, yeah, exactly. Suggested retail price of $14.99, so those might be kind of hot for this time. I think it's pretty good value. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, we don't like to push people into retail, but, you know, you're at Target buying your milk and eggs, you know. Hey, why not pick up a value box, you know, bust it in your car like I do.
Absolutely. Top Series 1?
No, Update.
Update.
So, I mean, you're not getting, you know, the valuable rookies, I guess, but you got some options that... I think there's Hosmer. There's a Hosmer rookie card now.
Hosmer,
so
I think there's Pignetta.
Yeah, there's some good value in the base cards. And then you got the Bowman Chrome. Last year, they did a hobby pack of Bowman Platinum, but it doesn't appear that there's a hobby pack in this
one. Have you been able to locate any Bowman Chrome retail?
You know, I haven't seen it, no. And, you know, I haven't really been looking, though, either. So
I know it's always, here on the West Coast, it seems like we get it late.
Yeah.
And we don't get as much of it. I mean, it's, like, running rampant, like, everywhere else. And then here, I mean, you may get, like, 1 gravity feeder.
Right. And there's been some ridiculous cards being pulled out of, like, Bowman. I mean, I'm talking about Harper Auto, on-card autos. I know they don't have, like, I don't think they go as low as gold autos. But, I mean, there's been some, like, numbered to 199 autos pulling out of retail. So, I mean, it's crazy. And then you got your, you know, your pack searchers that find all the good stuff, at least patch stuff first. So, I don't know how. There's a Bowman Chrome online that's retail, and somebody's promising an auto in there. I don't know how these guys... pack searchers can do that.
Guarantee an auto?
Yeah, it says hot pack, and it's guaranteed a Bowman Chrome auto.
Well, I mean,
it's a foil pack, so I mean, you can't see through it. I mean, I understand when they do the jumbo packs, you can see through the back, you can see that it's a numbered card or whatever. But how are they filling an on card auto?
I have no idea.
Do they have like some kind of metal detector? I mean, like a, you know, one of those scanners that they have at the airports that they're like looking in the packs.
That, I mean, or they're resealing the packs.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, you never see, like, I go and I look through those guys' ratings, and you know they never have like I pulled a Harper in there. You know, so you know it's probably, and they're only selling for like $6. So these guys are like selling a $3 pack for $6. I mean, they're not even making much money on it. But yeah, they're guaranteeing somebody, you know, something.
They could be reselling it, you know?
You know, I did see something interesting on eBay for box breaking, talking about competitors here. There was somebody doing a Bowman Chrome single box break, right? And with eBay's crazy standards, which we talked about in like the last podcast, or maybe a couple podcasts ago, eBay does not let chance listings go on their site. So basically what's happening is they're not letting box breaks because obviously it's a chance. There's no guarantee. You may not get any cards. This person's doing a single box break. They sold the Nationals for $30. They said if you do not get a card, they will give you the option of getting your money back.
Yeah, and I've seen that before.
I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. That's crazy. I mean, that's...
I absolutely have seen that, but there's a pretty good chance you're going to get a national
Well, there's
card.
72 cards that you're getting in one box. So there's also a good... I mean, I'm not a statistician here by any means, but I'm saying 50-50, you don't get a card.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and this person, I mean, you know, we're in box breaking. We know the value of boxes here. And, you know, Bowman Chrome box, you know, on the wholesale or whatever, you know, maybe you pre-ordered it, $60. They were getting $30 for the national spot, one box, which as a consumer, I mean, that's all you want. Some people only want that. So they're...
Well, I mean, it's going to take obviously one refractor, one auto, 3 base cards. I mean, there's a pretty good chance of getting your money back. I mean, there's a better chance of getting your money back than, say, if you had the Brewers.
Right, right, exactly. I mean,
let's face it. If the Brewers are probably in that box break, the Brewers are probably selling for $2.
Yeah, in fact,
the,
I don't
The Padres probably didn't even sell.
Right. So, I mean, there's... I think the Rays were the second one. I think somebody was paying $10 for the Rays. So, you get the Matt Moore. But, I mean, I guess that's a decent value. I don't want to say go with the competition and go on eBay, because we're doing box breaks as a bum and chrome too, but... Just the crazy wording that these people are doing on eBay is ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's, you just can't do it on eBay. You can't sustain your business and your market share by doing it on eBay.
Well, what's happening is they're finding words that they're putting in there, and then they're still getting pulled off.
So well, they will get pulled off. Yes, like eBay will catch on. eBay will like pull you off. It's just not going to happen.
And there's guys that you've seen on forums. I'm not going to trash anybody's name, even though probably they do deserve to be trashed. But there's a lot of guys that are kind of deceiving, and they're not they're selling spots and not, you know, on eBay, and then
not performing the breaks.
They're not performing the breaks. And,
yeah.
And people are saying, well, I'll just file a PayPal claim. Well, this certain gentleman pre-sold Prime 3 months ago, and when it's past 45 days, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So... You know, you don't get the protection. And
well, the thing is that when eBay, I mean, there was a lot of competition on eBay for us, but there was also a huge market there. So, I mean, you can basically box break anything and you'd be able to sell it. I mean,
right.
You may not be able to get what you wanted for it because of all the competition, but you can basically put it on there and you would absolutely be able to sell the spots.
Right, exactly.
And I think some people were doing it, and they were getting in way over their heads.
Yes.
And pre-ordering way too many
everything,
cases.
Everything, yeah.
Everything.
Bit off a lot more than they could chew.
And basically, when eBay pulled the plug, that was their only avenue of selling these spots.
Right.
And, you're held accountable, and you have, like, all these cars. What are you going to do?
Right, and you had some people that bought, and yeah, exactly. I mean... To find it now, you literally have to put in Bowman Chrome grab bag in order to find it. Whether it's before, you would just type in Bowman Chrome and you'd be able to find breaks.
Yeah. I mean, so, I think the right thing to do would have been to perform the break and eat the cost. And I know that's what we would have done.
Yeah. I mean, your customers are what's going to keep you going. I mean, without customers, you're nothing.
I mean we've done case breaks. We've lost money.
Yeah. I mean
it happens. But I mean, customers absolutely come first, and we have to. There's no just because we lost a couple $100 doesn't mean that the consumer should lose out or the customer should lose out.
Right, exactly. And I mean, losing $20 now, you know, is very small in the fact of making somebody happy and having their business for who God knows how long. You know, that's why we always try to give out free spots to our customers that spend a lot of money with us. You know, and give them incentives to keep, you know, doing business with Mojo Break. You know, I don't want to toot our horn too much because this is a podcast and you guys are listening and you're like, hey, we've been on the website. But, you know, I just thought I would bring that up. But back to some of the news. Tim Tebow's game-used pants from his first NFL game are for sale.
How much?
They're on eBay at $5,000 right now.
On eBay? Who put them on eBay? He put them on eBay?
He's actually working with some kind of auction company that's giving some of the money to the Tim Tebow Foundation, which a group that specializes in helping people in need. So only
some of it, huh?
What's that?
Only some of the money?
It doesn't actually give a percentage. It's probably 0.002%. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. It's J.O. Sports Company. So it was the most recent to emerge supposed game-used pants from Tim Tebow's first ever game with the Denver Broncos during the game, which was played November 14, 2010 against the Chiefs. Tebow threw for a touchdown and ran for another as the Broncos won 49-29 in Mile High. So, you know, cashing in on that Tebow stuff. And
I don't think I'd pay $5,000 for his pants.
No, I mean, you gotta what kind of shape are those things in? You know, you got
probably probably not good.
Got a little man junk in the area there,
a little bit.
Little Tebow junk, you know. You know, I think the guy's a great fantasy quarterback. I have yet to think that he's a great quarterback.
You started him one game.
Well.
Would you have said he's a great fantasy quarterback 3 quarters into his first
no,
game?
No, I would say he was awful. But, you know, it doesn't matter if he gets his points split directly in the game or in 5 minutes in the end of the fourth quarter.
Because I basically was looking at your score and I'm all, Tebow's got him 4 points and there's like 7 minutes left in the game. I'm pretty sure he might be the worst quarterback ever.
Yes. Well, he wound up with 32, made it happen.
Somehow.
you know, they say God's on his side, you know, who knows. But that was a ridiculous game. I mean, they scored that touchdown. They got the onside kick, scored another touchdown, got a two-point conversion, and then the Dolphins got the ball back and fumbled it.
It was
that would never happen.
It's probably Daniel Thomas who fumbled it.
Probably
my fantasy guy.
Probably it was a ridiculous game. Now I don't know. He looked awful. I mean, he had I think it was Knowshon Moreno like 2 yards away. And he threw it like 12 yards over his head. And Knowshon, I mean, you could see Knowshon's face being like, "Are you serious?" Like he looked at him like,
"What's going on?" But he literally like with like a minute and a half left, he like decided to just do this crazy superhero type comeback.
Put on the cape.
Dude, literally, I mean...
That's what the Gators call Tebow time.
Dude.
And it was Gator Day in Miami, so I don't know, you know. I mean, who's he playing this week? They're playing Detroit. Damn. Detroit's got a good defense. Unfortunately, I have to start him this week, but I'm a little leery about Tebow this week.
Timothy Tebow, dude. You guys just...
But the good thing about our league is rushing touchdowns are 9 points for quarterbacks, and a quarterback gets... 5-point bonus at 50 yards.
Our listeners are probably just literally going, does Doug never talk about it? Does he always talk about his fantasy team?
We do
breaks. Doug's asking for advice.
Well, you know, fantasy is my home away from
home.
They're
all, here he goes again.
They probably know my whole lineup.
They're all, everybody's going to be talking about Javon Best in about 30 seconds. You guys think Andre Johnson's coming back?
I know. It's a game time decision. What do you think? Andre Johnson or Aaron Hernandez?
Think I should trade Jimmy Graham?
So how much would you pay for Tim Tebow's game used pants?
I just wouldn't be interested. What are we gonna do? You gonna hang him up on the wall? You gonna wear him for a Halloween costume? I'm going as Tim Tebow.
You know, you could put him on your wall and it'd bring you luck.
Maybe. Or you could just I could wear him to work.
Why don't they cut him up? Put him in cards.
Actually, he's a big dude. I'd be swimming in those things. Maybe get some suspenders, hold him up.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I know you don't have this written down. Did you check out Chris's video?
The rant
about the guy who was
He actually replied to that, huh? Chris from Blowout Cards, who's a great guy. I mean,
Chris from Cards Infinity.
Not Blowout Cards. Why am I saying Blowout Cards? But the post was on Blowout Cards. Chris from Cards Infinity,
who is amazing and does an amazing job for the hobby, and basically is
the only guy. I mean, that guy's. I can only imagine. I mean, he does anywhere from 10 to 30 single box breaks a day.
Yeah, and he
sends out cards.
Absolutely,
it's ridiculous.
Absolutely the man, and. The guy was complaining that he was mishandling the Chrome cards, and he did like a Topps Chrome break.
So was the guy a customer of his?
I don't think so. I think it may have been a guy who watched his videos and then went on to. I don't think it was Blowout. What's the other big? It's like a baseball card form. I think it's called like Sports Cards Form or something like that.
Okay.
So he went on there and he was talking about how he mishandles the cards, that. He dropped a card and completely damaged it. When he does the review of all the cards, he basically puts them out, like all the hits.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said like he was destroying them. So basically, Chris did this.
It's not
rant
like he was
like,
putting it in his mouth
because you know when you flip through the cards,
yeah,
you thumb them and sometimes you get like some fingerprints on it.
Well, that's
because those Chrome cards, like you look at them the wrong way.
You could use those for DNA.
Absolutely. But he basically did a rant video that was absolutely priceless. It was hilarious. He's like dropping the card. He's all, look. He's like, it's a padded table. He's all, there's nothing you can do to damage these cards.
I might have to bring that up. I didn't see that. So, and was there any reply from said customer?
There was some people talking some S, but you know.
Well, I mean, I feel him. I mean, you know, and you, he goes through each. He shows you every card for one. And he goes through as quick as possible because he wants to not only show you your hits, but he wants to show the 10 guys that bought that same day. I mean,
but
he basically, exactly
the way we think. I mean, you do it and people want to see the meat of the product.
Right.
And basically, I'm stealing his words directly from his video, but people want to see the color. They want to see the hits. If you basically sit there and flip through every single card, when we do it, I mean, we'll say every card. But we won't necessarily show every card because, we're doing a case of cards. We'll be here for We'll do a break in 6 hours then.
Right.
I mean, exactly. Does anybody got 6 hours out of their day? They just want to sit there and stare at every card.
Right. And
I mean, let's face it. When you get these cards, the base cards, where are they going to go? They're going to go in a box, and they're probably never going to look at them.
Right. Exactly. And you know, we try to go through all the rookies and all the inserts and stuff like that. But you know, let's face it. Most of these products have a lot of worthless base cards that aren't worth anything. So, I mean, some people was like, do you even really want these? I mean, I feel bad sending them to you because they're just going to sit in your garage like mine. So it's like, let's add another freaking box of 200 count cards to your 500 already, you know? And I feel them, you know, and it's, you're not, let's just face it. We know you can't please everybody. And there's always going to be that one guy that thinks you're doing something wrong. And surprisingly, it took somebody that long to say that for him.
Yeah.
It wasn't one person that was disgruntled. Why and what's kind of this is this guy's living. If you have a problem with the way that he handles cards, why don't you contact him personally?
Well, that's what he said. He's like, well, why don't you just call me? Why don't you call me and talk to me about it? Why do you go on a sports card forum and just start talking shit about me?
Right. I don't see the video. I'm looking for it. But
it's got to be. It's definitely up there.
I wonder if it got a lot of views. No, I don't. I don't see it. Well, we'll have to look at it. We'll have to look at it later. But I was interested in seeing what it.
It was pretty. It's pretty amazing, actually. It's cool.
So moving on to basketball.
Sorry, I.
No, that's good news to talk about. Moving on to basketball. They're saying, you know, was on a site called Cardboard Connection, which is a good site, and love to, you know, work with you guys in the future. I do take a lot of your stories, so. Sorry, but you may take those stories from other people too. But he was kind of talking about the impact of the NBA lockout on the hobby, and just kind of, you know, what do you think? I mean, we've already seen boxes kind of drop a little bit. I guess this what's also coupled with this year's rookie class not being so spectacular. You know, it's really killing basketball.
Well, there's just no big name that got drafted. We don't know how good these guys are yet.
Yeah, until they haven't played. Yeah, I mean, last year they had John Wall.
But you know, I don't know how much you're up on it, but it looks like the lockout's over.
They're meeting again is from what I've
heard. Yeah, but they've already, I mean, a lot of the details have already been, like, hashed out. It looks like there's going to be a season. They just don't know if it's going to be a shortened season or they're going to try to do 82 and extend it.
Right. So. Let's just face it. No one wants to not play. I mean, overall, it's going to be horrible for the sport. How many season ticket holders are you going to lose? I mean, it needs to happen.
The thing is that people were making the argument that, well, without basketball, people are going to start watching a lot more hockey. Hockey's a fringe sport, no matter how you cut it up.
Yeah.
People who want to watch basketball are going to watch basketball.
Absolutely.
And if you're not going to watch the NBA, you're going to watch college.
Right.
Basketball has its market. There's diehard basketball fans, and I don't think those fans are going to be like, man, I really need some sports in my life, so I'm just going to, instead of watching a 76ers game, I'm going to just go down and watch some Flyers or stuff
that.
It's just not going to happen.
That's like if you're a horror movie buff, you're going to be like, oh, there's no more horror movies. I'm going to start watching like sci-fi.
Yeah.
It's not even the same thing. It's a whole other sport. I personally like watching hockey, but I just haven't had the time to get into it. Same thing with basketball. I mean, just with, you know, 2-3 jobs and you know, I barely have enough time for my Giants and my Niners and, you know, breaks and stuff. So, but it's exciting. And a lot of action. Hockey's, I mean, hitting, goal. I mean, a lot more goals than soccer, you know?
There's hitting, there's goals, there's checks,
I sound like a total noob here.
No, I mean, I'm a regional hockey fan. I mean, I'm a Sharks fan. I don't really care too much about the Winnipeg Jets. They're back.
Phoenix Coyotes.
The Coyotes. Don't really care too much about. Don't care about the Tampa Bay Lightning so much. But I'm a diehard Sharks fan. I mean, they get 15,000-16,000 in there every night, screaming their heads off. It's good, exciting. Good fun times.
I'm a bandwagon Sharks fan, and I only watch in the playoffs normally.
Doug's so. Like, call me in April
when the games are meaningful.
Call me in April. I put my Chi-Chi jersey on.
Yeah, I still have that damn thing. I can't even get a job anymore. So yeah, hey, we dropped some hockey knowledge in a podcast, and we talked about basketball. Just kind of wanted to preview playoff contenders for football because I know I'm excited. My nipples are hard. Playoff contenders is one of the Panini products that holds its value over the years. Rookie on-card autographs. You know, it comes out towards the end of the season, so guys like, you know, that weren't at the rookie premiere that do well get their cards. Four autographs, you know, and then this year actually they did they added on-card quad ink signatures. It's a double-sided card featuring autographs from four teammates, which I'm glad they're all on the same team. Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings, Charles Woodson, and Clay Matthews is one. Tony Romo, Felix Jones, Miles Austin, and Dez Bryant. Mark Sanchez, Santonio Holmes, Sean Green, and LaDainian. Ben Roethlisberger, Rashard Mendenhall, Hines Ward, and Mike Wallace are just kind of the preview so far. So I think that's pretty cool. Go do some little
who's on the Rams the guard?
They don't have enough people that are good enough.
Bradford.
Gilliard? Gilliard. Oh, wait, he's not on the team anymore.
Bradford, Gibson,
Spagnola.
Brown.
I was listening to somebody talk about on the fantasy XM Sirius radio station. They kept calling him Spagnuolo.
Yeah, he. I think he's done.
He's done.
Yeah. I think he's done.
Well, they got him all the right pieces supposedly, and I mean, it's not his fault that Sam Bradford's out. I mean, AJ Feely.
Bradford's out this week too.
Feely's like Curtis Painter. I mean, there's
no Curtis
difference.
Painter's pretty good. Well, not last game.
They
not. I thought at one point the Saints were gonna put up 100 burger. I thought it was gonna. I was like, this game's gonna end like 103 to.
Well,
7.
When you score on 7 straight drives, I mean it's.
But the Saints may put up 100 points against the Rams. They may put up 100.
You know, this is really a weird, weird statement, and I would never say this, and I'm not drunk, but I don't know why I have a weird feeling the Rams are gonna win this game.
Wow.
In St. Louis. I almost picked them in my pool.
Wow. Is it stone cold lock?
No, not at all. But because, I mean, a win, let's just face it. I mean, there are teams that go, there has been the Lions that went all season without a win. But there's some point where a team needs to get a win. I mean, and the Saints are just coming off this high of just, I mean, they killed Indianapolis. They're coming in this week. What kind of tape do they need to watch?
I think the Rams are going to win December 3rd. I think that's one of our victories.
You may be right because we'd be benching everybody at that point.
Because you guys are.
We already locked it. I mean, we've already clinched the division.
You guys have locked it up, huh?
5-1.
Wow.
And we got the Browns and like a couple other crappy teams coming up. So, wow. I mean, it's.
This is not the way I figured my 2011 football season would be going. Niner fans, just like Super Bowl bound, just we're gonna do it. Alex Smith, sign him for 5 more years. The guy's second coming to Montana. He just got a late start.
Well, I mean, the difference. I mean, it's all in Harbaugh. I mean,
oh, yeah, of course, greatest coach ever.
Well,
literally, he's a little bit better than Bill Walsh.
I wouldn't say that. But he's given like Alex Smith nibbles right now. He's not asking him to do too much.
Nibbles?
Yeah, he's not saying you need to go out and throw 400 yards a game.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Singletary did the same thing.
No, Singletary made no adjustments.
Singletary's like, I don't even want you thinking about throwing the ball. Hand the ball off every time to Frank Gore.
Well, what they said, the difference between Singletary and Harbaugh, I was listening to a radio station yesterday about it. They were saying the difference is that Singletary was trying to coach on Sunday, and Harbaugh coaches all week and lets the players play on Sunday. And he makes adjustments at halftime.
Wow.
Singletary stuck with his whole game plan. Basically, they were just ripping on Singletary, saying that Singletary just, you know, wasn't the brightest guy.
Niner fans are drinking the Harbaugh Kool-Aid.
Oh yeah, well, wouldn't you?
If
Harbaugh was in St. Louis and you guys are 5-1,
I'm more of a John Harbaugh fan myself.
Well, they just lost to one of the worst teams in the NFL on Monday night, right in front of everybody.
Wonder who's gonna win that Thanksgiving game.
Well, right now I'd put my money on the Niners.
Wow. Dude,
the Niners are the number two ranked defense right now in the NFL.
Cool.
And the yards per point, they're number one in offense.
So the Niners, if they were to go against the Packers, you're saying that the Niners would win?
Yeah, that's a tough one. The Packers offense, I think, is just...
I don't think you can say the Niners are a good team until they go against a team where they are forced to score. Like, if you're like, the Niners need to get 5 touchdowns to win this game.
Yeah.
They need to be in a shootout. I just don't think they... And there's teams that... They can't stop the Saints. I don't care how good their defense is. They can't stop the Packers. They can't stop the Patriots.
What's going to have to happen, let's face it, I mean, the Niners are probably going to make the playoffs unless something like a tragedy happens. But to get far... to get far in the playoffs, they're going to have to open the playbook up on the offense. They're not... They can't... These two tight end sets where you run the ball every time and try to do some tomfoolery...
Alex Smith is getting like 150, 170 a game.
We're running it down their throats. We're sending two big fullbacks.
Wouldn't Frank Gore be getting a lot of yards then?
He's
not having a good year.
Well, he's had three 300-yard games in a row.
Three 300-yard games? maybe he's doing a lot better than I thought.
Three 100-yard games in a row. Well, what's happening is the Niners, I guess I was listening to it, the analyzation is a lot of defense are they have small safeties now because they want them to be fast, and they're using quick cornerbacks. And the Niners are running two fullbacks and two tight ends against these smaller secondary guys. And they're just pushing them out of the way. So the Niners are kind of going with a more of an old school mentality against a new school defense, is the thought process.
Well, it started with defensive ends getting smaller and faster. And now it's even like defensive tackles.
Right, and linebackers too.
Are smaller. And linebackers. So like everybody's small and fast. It's like Al Davis, man. Al Davis is like... It's Al Davis ball.
Well, but the Niners are running Sapawaga as a fullback, and they're running like Norris. So they got 250, 300-pound guys running and blocking for you. Knocking these 180-pound guys off the tackle.
What does Sapawaga do?
They have him in the offense as a fullback.
I mean, what does he actually
do? He's a defensive tackle.
Defensive tackle?
Yes. So Harbaugh's using him in the – well, Norris has been hurt for a little while, so they've been using different
packages. Well, they have the other guy, Miller.
Yeah. So, but moving on, and I'm sure you don't want to talk about my Niners, and want to talk about the guy somebody brought it up in a forum, back to the World Series. I know we opened up the podcast with it. Somebody bet that when the Cardinals were five games out from making the playoffs with five games left, Vegas had the odds of the Cardinals winning the World Series at 99-1, or 999-1. I didn't know that there was such a ridiculous odds, but somebody bet $250 on it. And they are one game away from turning the $250 into $250,000. Same person already won $125,000 on a 500-1 bet that they would win the National League. So
yeah,
this guy basically took a obviously very very lucky, but took $500 and turned it into. Possibly $375,000.
It's a lot of Skrill.
It's a lot of Skrill. It's a lot of cases of cards.
It is.
You will start your own card company with that money.
Pretty much.
So that's pretty crazy. I did a 50-1 on a horse one time.
And they won.
And
yeah,
they won.
I was there.
$10. I won $500. Pretty stoked. Mind that bird.
I saw that.
So that was Dan gave me the $10. I woke up and I didn't have money on me at the time and needed to place my bets. So Dan still thinks to this day that I had half of his prize there. But I was the only guy to put a 50-1, but I was the only guy in the room that was happy that horse won.
Yeah, everybody else was pissed.
You know, badjocks.com, got one cool story to tell you about before we get into some Wonderlic stuff. High school coach accused of recruiting 16-year-old boy from Mexico to play basketball. But instead of playing basketball, he forces the kid to sell gourmet popcorn instead. Cesar Landon, 16 years old, wanted to come to the United States to play on a select high school basketball team. In fact, his parents were so desperate to get the boy this opportunity, they reportedly paid an assistant basketball coach at Louisville High School in Texas $300 a month just to make it happen. But instead of playing basketball, Landon was forced to sell gourmet popcorn. Yes, you read that correctly. Gourmet popcorn is part of some fundraising scheme. No rebounding drills, no three-point shooting seminars, no ball handling classes, just going door-to-door selling overpriced popcorn to strangers. According to the teen, he was forced by threats of violence to sell the popcorn in the city of Louisville, Texas, or he would be beaten. Landon also claims that Coach Barry shoved him at some point, likely for not pushing the high-end, upscale gourmet popcorn items. Not surprisingly, Landon's parents were not happy about this arrangement, and they eventually showed up to the U.S. to get their son and filed assault charges against the coach, former national sales champion. So, You know, guy, you know, maybe he figured he could do box breaks, and he's like, I got to figure out how to make some money. I mean, people do it all the time to recruit people from Mexico.
Yeah, you know.
All those guys stand outside of Home Depot. You know, I mean, just the guy was a little young, you know. And I guess he thought he was the Mexican Michael Jordan, the next coming of it. Thought he had an opportunity to play the U.S. Yeah, I think the guy should do some time for that. I don't know. It's probably a big gray area on that, so.
All right.
Well, back, you got some Panini certified
back,
up there.
Back to the hobby news for a second. Looks like breaking news. Certifies got pushed back 2 weeks.
2 weeks, huh?
November 23rd.
Yeah, there's been a gray area on the release date anyway. That's November 23rd for internet retailers.
Yeah.
So we'd be getting it November 17th. I'm pretty stoked about it. Well, hopefully they're taking some time to get rid of the redemptions.
I love redemptions.
You know, maybe less redemptions. Get these guys to sign.
Let me get my next one graded.
I wonder if those would be worth anything.
Before redeeming it.
Hold an unscratched redemption. So Vince Young sued for assault at a Dallas strip club. Apparently, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Vince Young is being sued by a Dallas strip club manager he allegedly punched in the face last year. Some people shake hands, other people punch in the face. Creighton Kitchen claims in a lawsuit filed in a Dallas court Tuesday that 20-year-old Houston native and former University of Texas star hit him suddenly and without provocation. I need to take an English class at the club. Kitchen, a manager at Club Onyx in Dallas, says he refused to convert $8,000 of Young's credit card into single dollar bills for tip money. Kitchen said Young was drunk at the time. Oh, I would have guessed that. And June 12th, 2010 scuffle. Young was cited for misdemeanor assault. He has said that he was provoked and made a mistake even being there. Tom Condon, Young's agent, could not immediately be reached Wednesday for comment.
Yeah.
But why 8,000? Why not? That's like an odd number. Why who goes up and says I need? I mean, I know the guy's got some money, but why eight? Why
well, maybe grand? He was with like eight dudes, and he's like, you know what? Everybody gets $1,000.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. But $8,000.
It's a lot of money. What's a strip club doing with $8,000?
Well, that's probably what happened. So, you know, he didn't have money on him, obviously, and he wanted to make it rain.
Well, sometimes you got to make it rain.
Yeah, Pac-Man. I mean, Titans. I guess it just it flow. If you play for the Titans, at some point you make it rain.
You got to make it rain.
So, you know, and that's Vince Young, man, and. Crazy. Did you hear about Jamarcus Russell? Did I tell you about the Bentley?
No. Oh, yeah. He bought a Bentley.
He bought a white Jamarcus Russell, Raiders fame. A lot of people forgot about him already. That's how irrelevant he is already. Bought a white Bentley when he played for the Raiders, and one of his buddies said, hey, man, why'd you buy a white Bentley? Play for the Raiders. He said, well, so he took his $150,000 Bentley and got it painted black.
Well, sometimes you gotta do that.
We got some Wonderlic scores to go into next here. Alright, so we just talked about Vince Young, and I don't know if a lot of people have talked about it. Most recently in years, they've been talking about the Wonderlic. And what the Wonderlic is, for those of you that don't know, is it's a test, 50 questions, and it's kind of gauged to give somebody's, I guess, common sense or how quickly someone can think. So they give every player that's in the combine this test to, I guess, you know, gauge their IQ. So it's a little bit different than BookSmart. Me and Dan both took the test. We're going to give you our scores after we go over the top 10 lowest scores so that we can make ourselves feel a little bit better about our score. But it's 50 questions, the one that they give the players, and you have 15 minutes to do it. So, and the scores are based on how many you got right. So obviously if you get 50 right, it's a perfect score. So people that have gotten a 50 over the years have been
Fitzpatrick,
Ryan Fitzpatrick, Harvard.
I think that's it.
I think that's it as far as I know.
I think that is it.
And I think Steve Young got like 37, which
Steve
is pretty
Young,
high.
John Elway, Drew Brees. I think they all got pretty high.
Yeah. So you know, quarterback. Obviously, the average on quarterbacks is a lot higher than the average on, say, a running back or a receiver. So. I guess for obvious reasons, but
I don't see any like defensive linemen or offensive linemen.
There's some down here. This guy's a safety here, the guy that got number one. But starting at number 10, so these are the lowest scores of all time as of, I believe, last year. So they don't have the guys from this year. But Hakeem Nicks scored an 11, so meaning he got 11 right out of 50. The average score for a wide receiver is surprisingly 17. So he was well below the average.
17 is not that great.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's if you were doing it great, that's
trying to F. Just trying to run routes. I don't want to sit here and read anything. He's like, I just want to run some routes.
Well, I mean, there's got to be some kind of reason why these, let's face it, I mean, schools that have heavy football programs like Florida State and, you know, that base, you know, they're known for having good football programs, probably bend the rules on how they give guys scholarships.
Ohio State.
I mean, they're probably a guy that's gonna run a 4.2 and that's gotten, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 yards in high school and is just dominating his division in high school. I mean, they're pretty much. I mean, he had a D average and can't do fourth grade math. Well, he run routes.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
So if you're blessed with the gifted ability of being an athlete, you don't have to think.
Just run routes. Just catch the ball.
Just catch the ball. I mean, Jesus, that's all you got to do. Number 9 is CJ Spiller. Well, yeah, I was looking at this list. These guys I draft in my fantasy leagues. I mean, I didn't know that they were less than average. CJ Spiller got a 10, which the average for running backs is 16. So I'm still not smart enough to figure out how to take Fred Jackson's job. So,
no.
You know, that's no. But he's fast. He's a fast guy. He did well in college, so you know, some of these guys in this list I haven't heard of, and there's a reason. I mean, some of this, from my take on the Wonderlic, I mean, if you're an outstanding athlete, they can overlook the fact that you're not very smart. But if you're a subpar athlete, you usually don't even get a shot based on your Wonderlic score. So,
yeah.
There's a guy, Michael Bishop. He was actually runner-up to Ricky Williams in the Heisman voting.
Ricky Smokin?
I couldn't think of his last name.
Ricky Smokin?
That's why I don't do good on Wonderlics. Michael Bishop, I guess he was drafted in the 7th round by the Patriots in 1999. His score was 11, but the average for a QB is 24. So the stakes go up a little bit higher when you're a quarterback. Yeah. So he didn't really – I guess he played like 2 or 3 games, and I guess he wound up being CFL, AFL, so never really got a shot. Surprisingly, Jeff George got a 10.
Guy's got a cannon, though.
Guy's got a cannon, but
– Guy's got a cannon.
Would have never guessed Jeff George – I mean, I guess I didn't think of Jeff George as the smartest guy in the room, but I wouldn't think he'd be the dumbest guy in the room either. Jeff George with a 10. Another Raider here, Sebastian Janikowski, got a 9. So
he's a kicker.
But he's a kicker. All he needs to know. I mean, there's not much thinking involved.
Just kick the ball. You see the giant like yellow poles right there?
Yeah.
Kick the ball in between those.
It's kind of like when you're a kid and you got to put the circle in the circle hole. That game, you know, where the square in the square hole.
You saying that Janikowski wasn't good at that game?
He probably was good at that. That's maybe, where he stopped. Maybe. That's where he peaked.
He's got to trying to put a square block in a circle hole.
Now these yeah, exactly. But guy can kick. What did he kick this year? 62 yarder. He tied the record.
He's busy. He gets it. He just kicks it.
I think sometimes thinking is actually a bad thing, because if you don't think, you just do it. You win. You kick 62 yard field goals.
Exactly.
Chris Leak. He was undrafted. He played for Florida State. He had a pretty storied college career. He was picked up by the Bears in like 2007. He got an 8. 8 out of 50. I mean, that's – you could probably just guess and do better than that, it seems like. Got an 8. Obviously, for reasons he did – I think he was 5'11", too, so he had just a lot not going for him. So
Short and dumb.
doesn't really work out in football for you. Vince Young, the aforementioned Vince Young, got a 6.
Like 14 on the retake.
Yeah.
Why did they give him a retake?
His agent probably called him up back. Man, you look stupid.
He's like, dude, you got a 6. He's all, 6 out of 50 ain't bad.
if I complete 6 out of 50 passes, that's what his agent's like.
Agent's all, no, 6 out of 50 is real bad. You better retake it. He probably left. Like, you know when you like took a test in college, like you leave and be like, man, I really nailed it. It's probably how he felt when he got the 14. He like left the room. He's
double my, more than double my score.
He's all, dude, I just killed it. Or like, how many did you get? He's all, probably got at least 45 and all 14.
You know what the sad thing is? Is they probably gave him the test to study after that. You know how they can make that stuff happen, and he still only got 8 more right.
Well, you know what? At least he can count up to 8,000.
Yeah, he won the 8,000 once. The next three guys who got the lowest scores, I didn't hear of, and that's probably because I'm not a smart man. Oscar Davenport, he got 6. He never even got a shot. I guess he had a pretty good college career, had 1,000 yards 3 years in a row or something like that. Never got a shot. Number two, the guy's name is Pig Prather. Played for Mississippi State.
Got to be an offensive tackle, right?
No, he was a Pig Prather. He got a 5. Was a nicely sized safety with outstanding speed. Unfortunately, he probably could not read a stop sign.
Why the name Pig? I don't get it.
It was. I think he has another name.
Okay. You think so?
Because maybe he's as smart as a pig.
Pigs are pretty smart.
Yeah, it does say pig in quotation marks, so I'm assuming he had another name. Than okay. That. His mom didn't name him Pig. That'd suck. He had success in top college, recording 221 tackles, 7 sacks, 7 forced fumbles, and 4 fumble recoveries. He also excelled against the run and had 16 tackles for a loss. He was seen as a gambler who was weak in pass coverage due to his tendency to bite on pump fakes. Probably where the Wonderlic comes into play. Prather was talented, but he made too many dumb mistakes on the field. Mental lapses don't look good on film. They look even worse when you can barely even get 1 out of every 10 questions right on the Wonderlic test.
That's the thing. I mean, is it accurate? I mean, these guys down low on the list didn't even get a shot. If they were given a shot, could they have been the next, big-time Darrell Revis-type safety? You know, in this guy's case?
Maybe.
Obviously, people are looking at numbers, and they're not even getting anywhere near him.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a little bit of studying in football, reading defenses and stuff. And if you're getting faked out on pump fakes, then obviously the NFL's not for you.
We got Darren Davis, huh?
Darren Davis got a 4. 4 out of 50. I mean, you could probably throw darts at the Wonderlic test and score higher.
Well, I mean, who's saying that he didn't just walk in and go, I don't care.
You got to take it. I mean, that is probably one of the defining moments. I mean, unless you're like, the Heisman Trophy winner, you're Andrew Luck, and your score doesn't matter. I mean, if you're barely going to get ranked in the draft as it is, you got to make sure you get a good damn score on that test, I'm sure. Yeah. That's a pretty big thing to be. And these guys hire agents, I'm sure. Anybody that's in the draft hires agents, whether it be a big one or a small one. They're going to tell you how important it is, I'm sure. But from 1996 to 1999, Darren Davis had a tremendous career at Iowa State. He became the first running back in school history to rush for more than 1,000 yards 3 times. Davis owns the Iowa State record for career rushing attempts, 823, and is second all-time in rushing and total yards behind his brother Troy, who played in the NFL for 3 seasons with the New Orleans Saints. Darren led the Big 12 in rushing yards in 1999 and 1388 and finished with 26 career touchdowns. He was passed over in the NFL draft and opted to pursue a career in Canadian Football League alongside his brother. In 2000 and 2001, Darren rushed for 1,024 and 1,243 yards against the Saskatchewan Roughriders, where he was among the CFL's best running backs. He was released by Ottawa following the 2003 season after serving as a backup for 2 years. So, obviously, he had success in the CFL. Would he have been as good as... I mean, a running back, as long as you're not like catching the ball, I mean, you're just running. Right? I mean, is there a whole lot of thought in that? I mean, at least with the receiver and every other position, quarterback especially, you have to think. You just got
to there's blocking schemes that you have to follow.
You do, yeah. I mean you got to study playbooks.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just go out there and do it on sheer ability. There has to be a method to the madness.
Right. And, I mean, obviously the biggest thinking is the quarterback, right? Because he's running the offense. Who would be the second? I mean, who? I mean, obviously the coach needs to be pretty smart too, but. What position?
I mean, I don't know. I assume that, like, and I know this is kind of going against the grain, but, like, I would assume that, like, some offensive tackles, maybe the center, would need to know a lot what's going on. I mean, he's basically listening to the quarterback, hiking the ball, and he also, like, you always see the center, like, pointing out, like blocking schemes or, like, pointing out, like, the Mike linebacker and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, and let's face it. I mean, offensive tackle is not a glamorous position. I mean, cards, we don't even hear about these guys. And me being a football guy, I can barely name 5 guys in the league that play tackle. I mean, I know Michael O'Hara because they made a movie about him.
That's...
So, these guys...
How about Jeff Saturday?
Jeff Saturday. I mean, there's
if his name wasn't Saturday, I probably wouldn't. I would have no idea.
But those are the guys that make the biggest difference in the game, and I think
football games are won in the trenches.
Yeah, they are. But I think the difference between these guys, those guys probably are humble and they study and they know, whether these guys are scoring touchdowns and getting all the hype, think that they don't need to be smart. I mean, I score touchdowns. I'm the most valuable player. Look at Chris Johnson right now. I mean, the guy is a prima donna right now. He's not running the ball right. He's not running the ball great. He's got a big contract. He doesn't think he needs to do anything.
Yeah, I think I think that was one guy who his years that he was really taking off and having a hell of a season, I think he was doing it on sheer ability.
Yeah.
And now I think
they figured him out.
You can only do that so much before, like, time starts catching up with you, especially with the running back. You're getting hit. There's a lot of wear and tear on running backs. Running backs only have about 5 to 6 year window where they're in their prime.
Right.
And that's true. You're basically, after that 5 to 6 years, you're pretty much done. I mean, name a guy who has been successful in the league 8, 10 years, and he's still as good as he was in year 2, year 3 of his career.
Right. There's a big fall off.
Thomas Jones, the ageless wonder. I thought that guy was going to be running the ball forever, but obviously he's
not effective this year, no.
Steven Jackson is one of those guys who, like, probably on the downside of his career. Frank Gore is one of those guys on the downside of his career. Even if you look at guys like Maurice Jones-Drew, he's lost a step.
Not as effective as he was.
Could it be the scheme? Could it be a lot of coaching? Yeah. It could be, but I just think running backs, I'm not saying anything that's like mind-shattering right now. I mean, everybody pretty much knows this, but it's like running backs have that 5-year window. And receivers are completely different. Receivers don't hit their stride until like the third year.
They do, and then but they also, like, look at Anquan Boldin though. I mean, Anquan Boldin is supposed to be the number one guy on the Ravens, and he's awful this year.
I wouldn't say their scheme has never been designed for the wideouts.
Right.
Though.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Derek Mason. Derek Mason would have like 15 catches for like 65 yards.
Yeah. Well,
in his prime.
But you know, you do see the drop off from receivers is. You know, you've seen it with Jerry Rice. For Jerry Rice to be – Jerry Rice, when he was in his 30s, he wasn't, like, burning people. I mean, he never really was a burner, but when he was younger, he was faster. So they become more route runners when they're older. They learn the game a little bit more. They rely less on their ability.
And look at Bruce. Isaac Bruce is the same way. Like, he was never a burner, but he was a great route runner.
Yeah.
I don't think you really learn that. I think the learning curve is a little greater for receivers than any other position in the league.
It is, yeah. Quarterback and receiver.
Very rarely do you get a guy coming out of the draft, like a highly touted first-round guy, who just instantly goes out there and makes a difference. The only guys I could think of
this are year, exception.
Calvin Johnson. Julio Jones is, like, not there yet.
Yeah.
AJ Green is definitely a couple steps above him.
Well, if Julio Jones hadn't missed the last two games, he might be in the conversation.
Well, if you watch AJ Green, there's... He just seems like he's slightly above Julio Jones.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. Falcons are just kind of
even Andre Johnson didn't come out of the gate just like playing amazing.
Right.
I mean, it took him a couple years to get the hang of it.
Well, you got to learn the tendencies of safeties, cornerbacks, different kind of defenses. And
the only guy I could remember coming out of college and just being a difference maker and just ready to play was Calvin Johnson's the only guy. I mean, literally, like,
and he struggled through injuries early on in his career too.
Yeah, and he was on a shitty team, but
yeah,
I mean,
different quarterbacks,
but I mean, it's he's just a freak of nature.
He is. Well, Randy Moss was, I think, was, well, maybe not his first year, but he was pretty good Minnesota days.
I don't think his first year was amazing, but you look at a lot of guys, like, their first year isn't great.
No,
Torrey Holt's first year wasn't amazing.
No. He changed his number.
But he did win a Super Bowl.
He did.
That first year.
So, getting back to the Wonderlic, me and Dan took a snippet, basically what it was, and you guys can try it, walterfootball.com. It's a 20-question test, supposedly similar to the Wonderlic. I don't know because I don't know what's on the real Wonderlic. It's a 5-minute test, 20 questions. I got to say, it's tough. I mean, it's definitely some some mind-bending questions. And, you know, me and Dan could have probably both done a little bit better if we would know – if we had an agent telling us, hey, this is what to expect on the test.
Well,
so
also if it wasn't the first thing I had to do in the morning when I woke up today. Not to, you know, be a little defensive here. But, yeah, I mean, I pretty much woke up today and it's like, here's 20 questions to start reading. But, you know, I'd probably – if I was to do it over again, I'd probably get a better score. But, you know.
Everybody on that list.
I'll eat it.
Dan got a 22.5, which, hey, that's average quarterback pretty much.
Quarterback.
And I got a 32.5.
You're a genius.
You're
like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
But see, I had my smart pills this morning, and I drank a Rockstar before I came here.
I drank a Rockstar, but I just woke up. I'd like to go back to bed.
I'd like to contribute it to Rockstar. So, there were some weird questions on there, like, you know, number sequences. And the ones that I didn't get was there was some crazy math, and I don't know if they let you use a calculator.
It wasn't that crazy, but if you look at, like, I have a bunch of, like, long division that I was doing. I was like, I can't believe I remember how to do that.
Well, see, what I just started throwing them out. I was like, I'm going to waste too much time and sacrifice points.
At least I was trying to do something. Doug, I don't know where you're just getting everything in the dome, huh?
I measure houses. I mean, numbers are in my head.
Build houses.
I build houses from my mind. I make a move. So, 32 and a half. Do your score. Do it honest. See what you compare to us. It's walterfootball.com. You can find it on there. There might be better versions of it on there. This one you actually have to write down and check your answers. And you got to be honest and time yourself. And that's what we did. We did 8 minutes. So, that was another way. We were only supposed to do, I guess, Walter Football said 5 minutes.
There was like 5 questions I didn't even get to.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's
get ready. Don't do it the first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Get ready. Be awake a little bit. Eat some breakfast.
Yeah. Get some eggs and some bacon. You know, up in you. But it's definitely it's interesting. It has nothing to do. I thought it was going to be purely math based, but it has, like, you know, those common sense questions, like, you know, if a train travels, you know, this many time and how many, you know, blah 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 blah, and then what number comes next in the sequence. It was stuff like that. So
problem solving.
But I don't know. Maybe these guys that got low scores only finished 6 of these questions. I mean, we're only getting a real snapshot because they're asking them to do it so fast. So they get 15 minutes to do 50 questions. So, you know, you can't really spend much time on one question. So for Ryan Fitzpatrick to get 50, right? I mean, that guy's thinking on his feet. That guy's thinking pretty quickly.
Well, yeah.
That or he cheated. So, I mean, you're also, when you're smart, you can figure out ways to cheat. So, I'm not saying he did that, but he did go to Harvard, so it all kind of lines up there. So,
you got to be smart to go to Harvard.
So, all right. We're going to get into this jam. We'll be right back after the music, talk about douchebags, and talk about reviews.
Damage we have done.
All right, we're just in time for our douchebag of the podcast segment. It hasn't been around for a couple podcasts. Thought we'd reinvent it, bring it back. So Dan's gonna start with his douchebags, which might be two douchebags, but I think it's gonna be the same team.
Double douchebags. I should just do the whole team of the Miami Dolphins, but I'm gonna do Brandon Marshall and Reggie Bush. So Brandon Marshall basically came out this week and he tweeted, which they should just, everybody should just stop tweeting. Like, sports players, you just shouldn't be allowed to do it. There's nothing good that comes out of it. So basically he's like, we're going to win.
Nice.
All right, well, you're 0-6.
Right.
No,
I think they won one game.
No, they're 0-6.
Oh, they are?
Okay. Yeah, they're 0-6. They're just getting...
Suck for luck.
They're getting the shit kicked out of them. Their quarterback's out, essentially, for the year. I think Matty Moore is their quarterback now.
Yes.
Reggie Bush, pretty much, I mean, he's just speaking the truth, but you don't want to throw your team under the bus. He's like, we're just not that good of a team.
Well, Reggie's not that good of a player.
Reggie isn't that good of a player. I mean,
everybody knows he made all of his money in USC.
Everybody knows that.
Literally.
So, I mean, that's pretty much my douchebags, plural, of the week. Brandon Marshall,
what's a
Reggie
tweet?
Bush.
Is it tweet like Tweety Bird?
Tweet.
What is this technology tweet that you speak of?
Tweet, you know. Twitter.
I can't. Tweet, it twat. Sounds like. Doesn't it sound like such a silly word to say?
Yeah, I'm just. I'm
like it's not real.
I'm tweeting. I mean, right now.
Moja Breaks tweeting now, too. You know, we have our own Twitter.
But we're not tweeting right now.
No, not that.
We're in the middle of a podcast.
I could, though.
Yeah, why?
I could say, hey, I'm Twittering during my podcast.
I'm tweeting. You're not Twittering. Twittering?
Twittering?
Twittering? I think it's tweeting.
I'm tweeting. I could take a picture of us smiling and say
pound at mojo break / semicolon whatever you talk
about. Those are the subjects, dude. I'm studying up on my Twitter. I'm doing Twitter 101, and whatever the pound is the subject, and people can just search those.
Sweet.
Just like that guy that got blasted in the face by in Oakland last night with the they threw a. Did you hear about the story?
No.
To Occupy Wall Street, they were doing it in Oakland, and I guess the cops were throwing tear gas grenades. And one of the projectiles like hit this guy in the head, and he's in the hospital. You know, it basically there's a
so it was like a pound.
Pound his name was one of the hot topics for last night. So everybody was sending their you know best wishes and everything.
Occupy Oakland.
No, well they're still using the Occupy. Yeah, they called it
because they have Occupy Santa Cruz.
Oh, they do.
Oh yeah, all day. I mean,
yeah, I mean we could go on a whole other rant about Occupy, but yeah, I mean. Tweeting, man. I mean, you're right. Nothing ever comes good about saying something. I mean, let's just...
No, but, I mean, some leagues don't allow you to tweet.
Right.
Football not being one of them. I guess you can't tweet during the game anymore.
Oh, yeah. Somebody did that and got fired,
I think it was
right?
Ocho Cinco.
Probably. Wouldn't
be. You can't tweet during the game anymore. That's cool. But it's football players... And basketball players. It's not, you don't see a lot of baseball players tweeting.
It's true.
And you sure in hell don't see any hockey players tweeting.
Yeah, I mean, is it a racial thing?
I don't know. It's just, it's mostly, but no, because there's a lot of white dudes who are
it's
tweeting.
It's true. You're right.
It's a football and basketball thing.
Yeah, I definitely don't know why. I mean, obviously the racial percentage is higher in those leagues compared to baseball.
I mean, Brian Wilson... tweets.
Yeah.
He's one of the few baseball players, but I mean, a lot of the other guys, it's for baseball, it seems like it's mostly media personnel who do a lot of
tweeting.
Well,
also, you gotta, I mean, it's not a huge age gap in baseball, but let's face it, guys that are rookies are a little bit older than guys that are rookies in the NFL.
True. And basketball.
Basketball,
you can be 19, 20 years old.
So, tweeting is, I mean, me and you are both 29 years old. I mean, tweeting is a relatively newer concept. So, I mean, somebody that's, you know, a little bit younger is going to be more apt to do something.
Yeah,
new.
I mean, I'll be honest. I'm not hip to the Twitter as much as I am hip to the Facebook.
Yeah.
Or the old school MySpace.
They dropped the, it's just Facebook.
Just Facebook?
Yeah, just Facebook.
I call it the book.
The book?
The book.
Shorten it up. My douchebag, and you guys are going to say, hey, typical Jim Schwartz, Lions.
You should do both of them.
No, Jim Harbaugh was perfectly in the right. Really? I might be a little biased. But
really? Because he It should be both of them.
I mean, that was an epic moment. I mean, we might see that on a Coors Light commercial of Harbaugh pulling out the belly, like running on the field, pulling out the belly. Hey, he's a former player. Jim Schwartz, I don't think, really played.
No, he didn't.
He didn't. So he doesn't get as excited about a win as Jim Harbaugh. And that's, people say Jim Harbaugh's won championships in college and all that.
So you have to, in order to get excited over a game, you have to play?
It's probably a little more exciting.
Okay. I'll remember that.
Well, and Jim Schwartz, I guess it's, you know, Jim Schwartz is having a good season for as well. But, I mean, that was...
But, like, that was a little excessive celebration from Harbaugh. He did the chest bump.
What with... Yeah, you know, but...
Jim, I mean, I guess it would have been worse if he would have did a chest bump with somebody from the Lions.
That would have been hilarious. I mean, he squeezed his hand and he pat him on the back just like he did with his players. And he was just so excited. He wanted to move on. I mean, let's... You know, Jim Schwartz did not need to run him down and have a battle. Like,
I wish it would have went a little bit farther. I wish like a punch would have got thrown. And
yeah,
because I mean, Schwartz did run up to him and he was just like, I really want to know what was being said there. I mean, it sounded like it looked like he was crying. Like, why'd you do that?
Well, and also, the big story during the game was Jim Harbaugh not knowing the rules. Supposedly, when he threw the red flag on a play that you can't challenge, Harbaugh got penalized for it on the kickoff. He challenged a touchdown when Pettigrew caught that ball, or Burleson, and it looked like it wasn't a catch.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a snippet of Jim Schwartz on the sideline saying, "Know the rules, ass." So they're saying that kind of fueled a little bit of this so-called, you know. But I guess they know each other. They've had lunch together on the off season and stuff too. So who knows what exactly happened with Harbaugh? I mean, if they know each other that well, you know, he must have done something that ticked him off. But why I'm calling him a douchebag is he didn't need to run down the field trying to fight him.
Yeah, but Harbaugh didn't need to fucking squeeze his hand so hard.
Have you ever met somebody and they just squeeze your hand too hard? Because that's what men do.
Really?
Yeah. It's you have never met one of those guys? Belly, you know, they typically have the shirts that are tucked in with the belly hanging out. You never see those guys? A manly man. They probably ride a Harley. And when you meet them, they're like, hey, and they squeeze your hand real hard. That's what men do.
That's
usually a scruff. I'm
pretty sure Harbaugh doesn't have a leather vest and ride a Harley.
I don't think
he's a part of HA. I just don't see that. Doesn't own a Harley. I don't see Harbaugh as a manly man. This guy you're trying to portray.
But I'm just saying, you know. And it was plus the adrenaline.
He was a quarterback.
He was.
You act like he was a safety or a linebacker. I think he was a backup quarterback a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Pretty good at holding a clipboard. And it was before, like, wireless headsets, so you had, like, a wire hanging.
He almost won the Super Bowl.
He
almost made it to the Super Bowl with the Colts. He was one play away.
Mark Bolger almost won the Super Bowl, too.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, moving on. We're going to get right into reviews, so those are our douchebags.
I think Tony Banks actually was on a team that won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think he was on the Ravens that year with Dilfer.
Explain to me how a team with Tony Banks and Dilfer is your quarterback, and you win a Super Bowl.
Two words, Ray Lewis.
Two words, Jamal Lewis. He was on the team, wasn't he?
I think he was, too. And the defense won that. That was a perfect example.
I think Ed Reed was on that team.
That was against the Giants, right? Ravens-Giants? Yeah.
Yeah. But, man, you're just Tony Banks and Dilfer. That's just what you got.
How about Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick? I could see it happening again.
Colin Kaepernick hasn't even had a chance. I mean, everybody knew that Banks sucked. Everybody knew that Dilfer sucked.
Well, a lot of people think Alex Smith sucks. Let's prove it.
No, it's not like I think he sucks. It's like a certainty. He's not a good quarterback, no matter how you slice
it. I'm still not drinking the Alex Smith Kool-Aid, but that defense is...
So, actually, they were saying on the radio, and I know we're off topic again, but whatever. I got a good one for you. So, yesterday, say the Niners PR department was like, we just signed Alex Smith for a 2-year extension. As a Niner fan, would you be like, that's awesome? Or would you be like, that sucks? Why do we do that?
Like right now?
Like right now. Let's say yesterday they just announced the Niners signed Alex Smith to a 2-year extension.
I don't know.
Niners are 5-1.
I'm a little jaded by the 5-1 right now.
Yeah, but like, how would you feel about it?
Who else is out there?
How would you feel about it? And how do you think the rest of the Niner Nation would feel about it?
it'd be pretty mixed. I mean, if we were 1-5, it'd be everybody would be up in arms. But I mean, he's managing the game, and we're winning games.
It's without just Smith. I just wish I could record this and then go back in time like a year ago and being like, dude, look what you're saying about Alex Smith.
I know. Well, there's podcast number 3. I was saying, you can't believe we signed Alex Smith. We didn't draft Andy Dalton.
I love that, though. I love how, like, literally a sample size, 6 games into the season, and it's like the consensus is actually like, why not? I mean, everybody was up in arms. They signed him for 1 year. They're just like, the Niners don't know what the hell they're doing. Harbaugh's the worst. He's the worst coach ever.
Well, when you're living fat, you overlook things. I mean, it's kind of like a guy on the street that doesn't have any food, you know, he's obviously not going to – I don't even know where I'm going with this one. A guy in the street that doesn't have food is going to look for every meal. Now, you give that guy $10,000, he's probably going to go buy a $28 steak at Black Angus. He's going to live fat. He's going to overlook all the little stuff. And if you have a fax machine, you got a cover page. No.
Yeah, I thought that would be interesting because it's just – I bet it would totally be mixed, and I mean, if you say it a year ago, if they were like Niners to sign Smith for a 2-year extension, Niner fans start rioting.
Yeah. Oh, even this off season.
Yeah, it would be boycotting.
Well, I mean, it's obvious that he has a little bit of talent. I mean, I'm not saying he's no Drew Brees out
But it's
there.
Funny if the Niners were to lose 4 or 5 games in a row.
He'd be on the chopping block again.
Everybody would be like, this team, they don't know what they're doing. How do you win with Alex Smith? You just won 5 games with him.
Well, let's face it. It's a what have you done for me lately league. I mean, Bradford's going to be on the chopping block. I mean,
Bradford's not going to be on the chopping block. At no
you
point,
guys go 0-16?
The Rams are, they're 0-6 right now. And at no point have I went, you know what? Problem's Bradford. Because the problem's not Bradford. The problem is everything else around Bradford, minus Steven Jackson and James Laurinaitis. Everything else is wrong.
Well, why don't we bring up Sam Bradford's 2011 stats and see?
But the talent is there. Sam Bradford he's badass.
So you guys go 0-16. Andrew Luck's not in the question about actually.
Absolutely not.
You're gonna roll Bradford.
We're gonna roll. Why wouldn't you?
What has he done?
Dude, he's a good football player.
You guys went 7-9 last year, and you're going 0-16 this year.
He's a good football. So, on December 3rd, we're gonna win.
And collectively, you say theoretically, you guys lose out. His record is gonna be 7-25.
Is that you sure that the math is right?
Yeah, I did it in my head. Sorry, I get a Wonderlic score.
No, I mean.
You don't consider starting Luck next year? Like,
Clawson didn't even
get that many games to start.
You just drafted your franchise quarterback. And you're going to draft another quarterback. So you're saying, Bradford, I know we gave you like a $80, $90 million contract, but we're going to do it all over again.
At what point do you realize he's not the franchise quarterback?
At what point do you realize that he still might be? He's played a year and a half.
He's not Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning made the team.
Peyton Manning's not Peyton Manning.
Well, Peyton Manning has a problem with his neck.
I mean, that's a team that is going to get... They're getting Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is playing in the fine city of Indianapolis.
Well, it'd be the perfect opportunity to sit behind one of the greats, I mean, for 2 years. Let's face it, Peyton Manning got a couple more years left. And it's going to be an Aaron Rodgers
Peyton Manning may never play football again.
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, anyways, we probably should get into these reviews. I'm going to start off with Crown Royal. It just came out on Wednesday for case breakers and local car store owners. Local card store owners.
I have
owners.
No idea what you just said. You don't want to get out of that wet dress and you drop on scene.
Yeah, so just trying to make myself look like, hey, I got the product before everybody else, but then I stuttered and I made myself look stupid. Crown Royal 2011 Panini Crown Royal Football. We busted 12 boxes on Wednesday. It was a long day of cards. Crown Royal came through, and I actually wasn't expecting much from this set, and I actually was quite impressed. It's going to get a good, decent review from me. Good set. I mean, it took a while to come out. It was supposed to come out like a month beforehand. No one knew. I mean, Panini didn't even know. And then they released it, and I liked it.
It was only okay for me.
It was only okay for
me? It was only okay for me.
It was like Sam Bradford okay then.
Sam Bradford's a good quarterback. Like, I don't understand. if you put Sam Bradford on the Niners, Niners probably would
we're 6-0.
Yeah, you guys would have beat Dallas.
Well, he probably wants to play for the Niners.
I do love it. Dallas, pretty much one of my favorite teams right now. Anybody who goes against the Niners and beats them?
Jesse Hawley. Well, there's only one team this year.
That's my team.
But getting into the autos category. You know, at first glance, I was going to give it a bad review when it came to the autos and Crown Royal. For the simple fact that they did use basically the whole draft pool. So you got guys that are seventh rounders signing, and they're all sticker autos, but they actually are on their team. So this is one of the first products that show them playing a game. They either got the picture from preseason or, you know, first couple weeks, obviously. But, you know, what Panini doesn't know, to give Panini a little bit of credit, some of these guys may bust out. So, you know, you do have a sixth, seventh rounder that might get a shot. So, I mean, they can't forecast how bad these guys are going to be. But what they are giving you is, you got the guys from the rookie premiere that signed on-card autos, so that's great. They signed at the premiere. And then you got the rest of the guys that were sticker autos, so there's a lot of autos. So it gives the collectors, the guys that really liked Alden Smith or the guys that liked that offensive tackle on the Panthers that really want his cards, it gives you those cards for the first time. So not going to give it an A, but I'm giving it a B- just because there's a lot of variation, but that also affects the value too.
I'm giving it for autos, I'm going to give it a C. There was a lot of guys. I know it's cool to have the guys that were not at the rookie premiere.
Yeah.
But let's face it, it's a lot of like sixth and seventh rounders.
Well, I mean, look at, there's a guy that you hope goes off, Roy Helu. I mean, he's now in a Redskins uniform. He's, you know, it's a sticker auto. But that guy is one terrain injury away. He's got a lot of talent. He could be the next coming of LeGarrette Blount. You know, LeGarrette Blount wasn't at the rookie
It's good
premiere
to see some fresh names.
Yeah.
It is. But, I mean, let's face it. A lot of these hits that we're going to be getting, a lot of these autos are guys that are non-factors and are always going to be non-factors.
Right.
So, with the rookie premiere guys, these are basically the cream of the crop.
Well, they're all drafted lowest.
Yeah, these are the guys who are going to be playing and the cards that are going to have the most value.
Right.
So it's hard for me to get excited about a sixth-round offensive tackle that was drafted for the Steelers that is seven guys behind the other offensive tackle
right.
starting.
Right.
So I'm not going to get too excited about that. So that's why I'm going to give it a C. But I understand what you're saying is that like you're getting a fresh crop of guys out there that you have not seen. And there is a chance. There's going to be a handful of those guys that come out where that's their first auto card.
Right.
And that's going to be worth a lot of money.
Yeah, they
like,
come out
like
and they have
Helu.
A DeMarco Murray game or something.
Like Helu and like stuff like that. So like those are going to be worth a lot of value. But it's really hard to get excited about the whole crop of guys.
Right. I mean, Crown Royal advertises at 94 to maybe you get it in the local card store for 120 a box. So it's lower priced than Absolute, has the same number of hits. So, I mean, you know, I guess it does one of two things. When you have these no-name rookies in there, it really does bring the value up of the Cam Newton cards in there. So, you know, products that we've had before, like Finest and Platinum and stuff, there was the same guys from the rookie premiere. Last five sets that we've gotten, same guys from the rookie premiere. So, I do see your side of it, too. Why are you looking at Niner jerseys?
I'm thinking
about joining the team?
No, I'm actually looking for a Niner hater shirt.
Oh, you're on the wrong one. They probably don't make them. But
no, I think they do though. I'm actually, I don't know if I'm going to wear my Rams jersey December 3rd. I might just get a Niners hater t-shirt.
There's a lot of Big Simone guys that come to
it. It doesn't matter. I literally may take on the whole stadium.
It was a shooting in the preseason.
Yeah. And I'm good with that. I'm
we're getting back into the Crown Royale stand. Next. So I give it a B+, or I'm sorry. I give it a B-. Dan gives it a C. Getting down to memorabilia. Wasn't a whole lot of color, but I believe it was solid. And the reason why I'm giving it an A, and the reason why is because they actually got a really good mix of legends, current guys, and rookies. I mean, not only did we get Cam Newton and Mark Ingram jersey pieces, we got Fred Biletnikoff, we got Tony Gonzalez, we got Peyton Manning, we got Eli Manning, we got Mark Sanchez. I mean, jersey pieces. The Mark Sanchez we got was two color. The Eli Manning was two color. So it's what I like to see when it comes to memorabilia is an all-around mix of what you can get. So
you know, rather than just all rookies or the other, all left.
I understand what you're saying. I do like the way that they put veterans in there, but it just didn't pop.
You're right.
It didn't pop. I didn't really – I liked the idea of the memorabilia autos with, like, the patch behind a player. I liked the idea of it, and then when I saw it, I'm like – don't like it as much as I thought I was going
to
like it.
Yeah, what he's referring to is there's a silhouette. I think they call it the silhouette.
It's a silhouette. It's a cutout of the player, and behind the player is a patch.
Right.
And then you have the auto. And I have such mixed feelings about it. There's a part of me that really, really likes it, and a part of me is like, wow. Like,
yeah.
It's just really blocking kind of the main part of the card.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw the previews of it, and the previews actually spot on what the card looked like.
But yeah, and then there's that, and then okay, so
the it legend, is on card. I mean,
the legends, cool that they put in the legend pieces. Some patches, a lot of basic like one color. I'm gonna give it a C. It's just nothing really popped for me, and I thought that they overthought the silhouette. It's like they tried to make sure they would do something different, and I think they kind of just overthought it was better theory.
It's on card, though. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just I just have mixed feelings about it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I do like it. I can see where a lot of people are complaining on forums about it.
Like, what if it was, like, a part of... What if, like, the patch back there was, like, a part of a logo?
Yeah.
Like, what if it was, like, a Jaguars logo behind there? It was, like, a Blaine Gabbert card. And, like, you wouldn't be able to see the logo.
Yeah, I think they strategically use
Well, I know they, patches, yeah.
We got four of those cards, and they were all numbered differently. We got four of them in a 12-box case, which rumors I heard, and I don't know what people are getting per case, but I thought there were only one per case. Obviously, we either beat the odds or the odds were incorrect. We got four. We got one number to 10, which was Alex Green. I'd like it to be a little bit better of a player, but hey, can't complain. We did get a Cam Newton number to 199 jersey on card.
And there no variation between the patches to determine what number right. the card would
exactly.
be. Like, that's
the only way you can tell looking on the back.
Yeah, a little confusing. Like, the Alex Green patch is no different, really, than the Vincent Brown patch, but it's a... One's number to 10, one's
yeah,
number
it's
to
like not even like the card should be like a, card should be a different color.
Yeah, the card should be a different color. It's not. I mean, they're both on card. It's like really, I don't really understand. The only thing that's different is literally the numbering.
Yeah, and then we got a Kyle Rudolph number to 299, Vincent Brown number to 50. So yeah, he's right. Moving on to base, I actually really dug the base. They had a lot of die cuts. They had some definitely some weird ones. They had ones that had like football points on them.
It
was a little strange, but they actually, for the base, I like the crown die cut. I know it's something they do every year. I liked it, and then, you know, and they had variations, and then they had, you know, different cards that came out of there, like all pros and stuff that was numbered. So it looked like the cards looked more expensive than they were. So that's where I think they did a good job with the base, and I gave the base an A.
I gave the base an A minus. I really like it. I love the die cuts. I love the way like the players kind of pop out of the card.
Yeah.
I love the concept. The only issue which stopped me from giving it an A is that the base, because there's so much going on, it's a little busy.
Yeah, it's a little busy.
It's a little busy. There's so many different color variations. I do like how they changed the color of the crown for the lowered numbered base variation, like
yeah.
the SBs.
And the autos, too. They did
and
that.
The autos.
Yeah.
I do like that. The coloring scheme was a little weird. We got that Michael Crabtree, and it's like red, and the crown's green. I don't know if I really dig that.
Yeah. I mean, the greens were numbered to 10 or whatever.
The greens looked a little funky.
Yeah.
But yeah, I give it an A minus on the base. I dig it. The only thing stopping me from giving it an A or an A plus was that the base cards, a little busy.
Yeah. Uniqueness. I was really fond. I mean, it's kind of weird. They had these kicker cards, and it was a. we got Garrett Hartley and somebody else, I think, in the whole case, and they weren't numbered.
Billy Cundiff.
Cundiff, yeah, and they have a net. You guys may have seen these on the internet already. It's not game used, not numbered. I guess it's just a base card, but it's called Net Fusion. Thick card, and you know, I usually don't get too excited over a kicker card, but definitely give them. No one's done that before.
No, it's so cool.
It's kind of cool. You can see through the net. I mean, I don't know what value. I mean, actually, we can probably look on eBay right now and see if they're selling for anything. I don't know what the value is on them, but it's kind of an interesting concept. I mean, kicker's getting some love. I mean, you don't really get kicker cards maybe in the Topps jumbo, but other than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was cool. I give the uniqueness an A-. They, like, took the die cuts to a whole new level.
They did.
And made it very unique.
Right.
Do I like all the die cuts? No. No, the Majestic ones were a little funky. The ones that were like the football-shaped ones, it's like taking it a little far.
So, you said they went overboard on the die cuts.
They went overboard on the die cuts. But the uniqueness with the kicker cards, I got to give it an A-. I mean, it was definitely, for me, no, I haven't seen anything quite like that.
Right. And we thought it was a double hit when we first pulled it up.
Well, not even just that. I mean, just like all the variations of different style of die cuts.
Right, right.
Die cut memorabilia pieces.
It's like they listen to our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely for a unique product. I mean, it is the unique product. The most unique product I've come across this year,
and they've become the standard of die cuts. I think because they had it all last year too.
I think Panini is kind of the industry standard of die cuts.
Seems like it. Topps is starting to do it a lot more too. There was a Nick Fult sold for $9. So, sweet. Yeah. So I guess they are.
I could see somebody PCing that set.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. Josh. Wow. Josh Scobie's up to $10.50. Three with an hour left. Mason Crosby, Neil Rackers, David Akers, and the Niners. So, yeah. And it looks like they're, I mean, I don't know what the average is on them, but they're a little bit falling two per case. So,
yeah.
At least on our case. So, give it a value. I'm going to give it a B- just because I've, surprisingly, the die cuts, not numbered, selling anywhere $5 to $7. That Cam Newton we pulled, selling for $2.50. So, there's a pretty good value in a 12 box case. I mean, you know you're not going to probably make your money back, but there's a chance you could.
I'm going to say C. This year, Panini products have not really been killing it in the value aspect.
Yeah.
It seems like every product, I don't know if it has to do with the whole, like, the map program they have going on. I'm not really sure, but it seems like overall sales in their product are just down.
Yeah.
In boxes, in cases, and in single cards as well. Everything seems to be... It may be the economy as well.
It could be. I think MAP has something to do with it. I think we've talked about this on another podcast, but to me, when you prevent people from buying on blowout in the first week of release, what you're also doing is preventing the free advertising you're getting. Because people get these boxes and they go on forums and they say, hey, you know, I got...
Well, yeah, it's people just want to... They want to go out there. It gives them incentive and gives them a little kick.
Right, they see that there was 5 Cam Newtons pulled in this first day, and they go, I'm going to go to my local card store and buy it.
Absolutely.
So I think it's affecting the sales in that regard, because you don't have that. You don't have the guys on YouTube as much anymore. I mean, Chris is still doing it, but guys, because people that order from Blowout get them on day release normally. So.
One thing I do want to touch up before we do the overall grade, and we always bring this up when it does happen. We did a 12 box case of Crown Royal. I think we've probably done somewhere anywhere from 12 to 15 cases of Panini products this year. First time we've had them miss two hits.
Yeah, not just one, two.
Two hits, shorted. I have a feeling they may have been redemptions, because we got redemption size dummies in both of those.
And there was nothing on them.
Nothing on them. So it's going to be our first opportunity of dealing with customer service for Panini. Wish us the best.
Yeah, I heard they're pretty easy to talk to. Topps, I mean, getting off a little bit off topic, but we had several Topps cards that it took us a couple months to get. You have to scan not only the pack, the case, if you're doing a case, and scan the UPCs. date them and then X out the UPC, I guess, so that you can't, you know, keep sending them missing hits. And then you send that to a PDF, and then some guy calls you, and then they send out the, yeah. Then they tell you to run around the block, talk to Jose. Jose then tells you to talk to Peter that's down the street. No. And then finally, 2 months later, we got our hits. The weird thing about it was we got them not in top loaders.
I would say it was about a, I would say it was about a month.
Month. Okay.
The whole thing is about a month. I gotta say, I've heard really bad things about Topps customer service, but it worked. It wasn't a bad experience. They got us what we needed. And I would overall say it was a good job on Topps.
It was a good job. I mean, it's I think the theory behind it. So we got 5 cards, one envelope, and then each card was in an individual envelope that was taped. So maybe that's, they just grab one of those envelopes. Maybe that's the theory behind it, so that they don't know what card people are getting.
Yeah,
I would think.
I mean, where are those cards? Where, we already discussed this, but where are those cards coming from?
I mean,
are they holding hits back?
Do they do the missing hits on purpose? I mean, do they make a whole print run and leave them out? I mean, does that makes me question. I mean, this is a whole other subject we could do for hours. But I mean, does Cam Newton get left out? I doubt it. Does, you know, we got Cecil Shorts the third, Tywan Jones. Now these guys,
Jordan Todman.
I mean, these guys may become stars later, but I mean, Topps obviously knew that.
You did a very good point. Do they go back and rebuy their cards,
and then have
a handful of cards that they've purchased for that exact?
I don't think that they do that, because that probably wouldn't be very cost effective for them.
Well, I mean, the thing is that if we are to keep track of the cards that we get from them for missing hits, and if we were to see that same card, that same number, and sell on eBay, that would basically tell us that.
That's true. We can look up.
What are the chances?
Let's get into our final grade first. Sorry, we get off on tangents. Call it the Mojo Tangent.
It's already 12:35.
Yeah, I know. So for overall grade for me, mine came out to an 88%, which is probably one of the better grades that I've gotten, especially for a Panini product. It's going to rank right up there with Rookies and Stars for me.
I gave it an 80, which is a B-.
Yeah, so it's, I would say buy a box. I might buy myself a personal box of this stuff. I think there's a good chance of some Mojo, and you definitely get a lot of variation. You get a lot of different types of cards within the box. I mean, what is it, 20 cards you're going to get per box, basically, and you get all kinds of die cuts, inserts, and stuff like that. So I think it's pretty cool.
It's a fun product. For us, it's like one of those action pack products.
Yeah.
It's like a hit every pack. I mean, we love doing stuff like that, but I mean, we also love doing 24 pack boxes with one hit. I mean,
right.
We do it all.
Yeah. Sweet. All right, so we're going to get into one. It's not too flashy, but it produces every year. Bowman Chrome 2011 got the Bryce Harper Mania right on the cover. His autos are selling like nuts right now. Matty Moore's in the product, selling good too. So I think they definitely bombed it last year as far as what was projected, because the Strasburg, you know, went down and people pre-ordered a lot of stuff. They produced a lot of stuff last year, so this year I think they're spot on. The cards don't have the bend anymore or the dust on the cards. The cards look pretty good. They added die cuts. Getting into the autos, I mean, there's only 4 categories because there's no memorabilia pieces, but autos, I think it's pretty strong. I gave it a B+. I mean, pretty standard stuff. You got your color, you got your nice prospects. You got Matt Moore, Bryce Harper, there was Melky Mesa, some guys from a couple guys from the Yankees. There was a good overall mix of prospects. So, yeah, I mean, really not a whole lot to comment on it, but my grade is a B+ on that.
You know, Bowman Chrome, it's like the cream of the crop when it comes to baseball autos.
Yeah.
It's basically what everybody wants. Everybody wants a color. Everybody wants, like, variations. I'm going to give it an A. It's on card. It is basically what everybody is looking for.
It holds its value. Yeah.
It's what everybody wants on card, autos. We want color. And it's basically, it all comes from Bowman Chrome.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it an A. The checklist, let's face it, Harper. That's what you want. That's basically where the value's at. There's Matt Moore. There's Hosmer redemption autos.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's also, I mean,
I think Freddie Freeman's in there too.
There's a lot of autos in there that, you know, next year those cards are going to be what people are chasing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Very similar to Bowman draft picks.
Yeah, it's something that you get, you hold on to, and you see what happens.
It's an investment. It's fun to watch a guy.
But I'm gonna, and it's a good deal. So I'm gonna give it an A.
Base, you know, I did give it an A. The disappointing thing about it, at least in the case that we got, was we were getting like a blue refractor in every box, which is numbered at 199. But 10 out of the 12 boxes were all veteran blue. Could have been just our case. I don't know. We didn't get a whole lot of, I mean, when you're dealing with a group break and you're only going to get 12 autos, you know, you have 30 teams, you know, so you're already shorting a lot of autos for people. Not everybody's going to get something. So we like those people to get some color, some nice prospect colors. And, you know, it was like, you know, Jim Thome or Adam Dunn blue refractors or Justin Morneau, which is cool, I guess, but it would be nice to be those prospect refractors.
Yeah, and I at least see a little bit more. But basically with them short printing the and I don't know if they did, but the prospect color variations, basically
they do hold their value.
Do hold their value. And people do view those as hits. They're not hits, but people view them as hits.
Yeah.
Sorry. People do view them as hits, and they're not, but with what we do, we kind of treat them like hits.
Yeah, definitely.
And they were, it seemed like there was tons. I mean, every gold that we got was like a veteran.
Right,
Every blue we got was a veteran. There was just not a lot of rookie color, but you can't have it all. No. So, but overall, the cards.
But we did get a really big card.
Yeah.
Dan pulled it, 101, Canary Gold of Alex Rodriguez, which...
And those were really sharp-looking cards.
It was a nice-looking card. It was probably at least a $300 to $400 card on eBay.
But the base, I give it a B-.
Yeah, it's nothing too spectacular. Same thing with uniqueness. I mean, I gave it B- in uniqueness because of the die cuts. They're doing atomic die cuts. That's new this year. So a little bit on the unique. It just seems like everybody's listening to podcasts. We talk about die cuts so much.
And yeah, they did it right. I really, their die cuts were really, they were classy. It wasn't too busy, wasn't too much. They were really, really well done. And you pretty much, you're getting one, it seemed like. I mean, damn, it seemed like they were almost falling like...
Three per box or something.
Yeah, three, four per box. I mean, we pulled like three or four Bryce Harpers.
Yeah.
But they also had variations of it.
Yeah, they had a number of variations.
And we did a one box break of it, and we got a Manny Machado, like, orange variation.
Which gold? Orange gold, or gold? It's hard to tell.
It was definitely low numbered, and that was cool. For the uniqueness, I give it a B. Love the die cuts. I love the angles, the way they did it. It was a proper die cut.
Yeah, definitely. And that falls right in unique. Value, I mean, they don't make Bowman Chrome Jumbo, so boxes are anywhere from $50 to $70, you know, maybe going a little bit higher than that. And you get a good value. You hit one decent colored card, you're going to pay for your box very easily, especially if you get a Harper Auto. I think even the base Harper Autos are going like $150.
In my opinion, it is the... It's one of the best values.
Yeah.
If you're trying to rip and flip, this is pretty much the product you want to do it with. And if you can't really do it with a small sample size, a box here, a box there. If you really want to make some serious money, you got to go into. Yeah, you got to do it big. If you did like 8 to 10 cases.
You hit that nice.
That's how you're gonna make your money back.
Yeah, you just hit a couple Harpers and low numbered Matt Moores. I mean, the Harper numbered to 500, I think, is selling 400 or 500.
Yeah.
Auto.
So for value, I mean, it is probably one of the best values in the hobby consistently every year. I mean, even last year, I know it flopped, but at the value that you can get it at right now, it's still a good deal.
Yeah.
You can never go wrong with Bowman Chrome when it comes to value. Topps Chrome, you can't go wrong either.
No.
I mean, anything that's Chrome. I mean, Draft picks and prospects is a little different. It's something that you kind of – it's an investment that you kind of got to hold on to because a lot of those guys are 3 to 4 years away from being in the bigs.
Yeah.
But the Bowman Chrome, it's prospects that are pretty much on the cusp of making it to the majors.
Yeah, draft picks, prospects are guys that just got drafted. Yeah. So. And speaking of Chrome, we got a three-box break that went up. I think the Nationals are still available. Bowman, it's a three-box break. You got one box of Bowman Chrome, one box of 2011 Topps Chrome, and one box of 2011 Bowman Platinum. So that's a three-box break by team. Teams are as low as $9 on there. So, you know, it's a good and, you know, good cheap break to get into.
I think the Nationals are doing, I think it's about $39.
$39, but all you need is one Harper auto and you...
Well, all you need is two Harper base cards.
Yeah, exactly.
You may break even.
And you got your Harper, you got your chance of Harper in Platinum and your Harper in Bowman Chrome. So you have two boxes that have some really high-end Harper stuff. So probably should have priced it a little bit higher, but 38 is a good value.
Yeah, and you do Mojo 10, Mojo Cast, Mojo Cast.
Mojo Cast for 15% off.
15% off Mojo Cast.
Yep.
Giving away the farm.
Yeah, MOJO. I didn't want him to say it. I didn't want to give 15%. Mojo Cast 15% off. Go on there. I mean, make an order of $100, $15 back in your pocket. You know. So, yeah. So, but back into the grades. So overall grades, we actually agreed on. We both gave it 85%. Good product to invest in. I mean, I like it. I'm a big baseball prospect auto guy and. Oh, and Harper is still holding his value.
Yeah. If I was to open up a personal case, I'd probably do Bowman Chrome.
Yeah.
Bowman, right now, I mean, we'll talk about it next podcast. We'll obviously do a review on it. But right now, if I had $600 to $800 to blow and I wanted to try to get the most for my money, Bowman Chrome or Topps Chrome football.
Yeah. I mean, I might throw in a box of triple threads there. You have some big opportunity there, but there is no Harper in there.
I'm saying you have $600 to $800 to buy one case.
Yeah, and plus you also would take a couple hours. It'd be, you know.
Yeah,
it's like one of those scratchers.
I just think with all the color, with the Harper, and in football you got all the rookies, and you got the on card autos, and you have color.
Yeah, and we got our Topps Chrome football break coming up this weekend, so we're going to be reviewing that. I'm sure next podcast. But go on mojobreak.com. We also have an 8-box gold standard football break, which is some nice high-end stuff. We still got some spots left in our certified football break. We got Topps Tier 1. There's still some spots left. A lot of spots left in Bowman draft picks and prospects. That's, you know, like just like we're talking about, good investment. We also did a 3-box absolute break that's up there, which a lot of teams. So a lot of stuff up there. Something for everybody. Hopefully we'll be getting into hockey. Maybe we might bring basketball back if basketball the lockout's over. So other than that, I think that's going to conclude the podcast. Thanks for listening to us rant. I know we went on dozens of tangents, but
it's what we do.
We're just sitting here at a table and just shooting the mess. So check out mojobreak.com. You know, use MojoCast for the promo. And other than that, keep ripping those packs. Watch football on Sunday. Tim Tebow's going to have another big day. Des Bryant's going to go off.
Peace. Later.